trail. Hippity hop and Easter's on its way, bringing every girl and boy baskets full of Easter joy. Hopping down the bunny trail. Look at him stop and listen to him. Woo!
Scoff and Quaff Show with Jules Serkin on Channel Radio.
That's better. Nobody was had turned me on.
Oh dear.
It's a long time since nobody turned me on, poor Barbara.
Oh dear. What are you up to?
Let's just say good morrow and start again. Okay. So we have poor Barbara giving a spicy flair into the studio today, and he's wearing, listener, a very fetching black and white, like he looks like a little sort of zebra.
Yes.
A very handsome zebra, black and white, with a matching black and white polo shirt. Very, very handsome.
Oh dear, thank you.
And you've brought us in. What have you brought us in, Paul?
You're well aware of my spicy foods anyway.
I am a fan. It's my one weakness.
Yeah, those were the spinach pakoras, but most of the pakoras people, they know it as bhajis. But bhajis is not a word. It's called bhajia. But keep it simple, pakoras.
Pakoras, and they're made with gram flour.
Indeed, yes.
And they've got spinach. And what spices would you be putting in these?
Salt for seasoning, of course, a little bit of chilies to spice up everyone's life. Mm-hmm. And the main is the garam masala, which is a mix of almost five spices, basically. Cumin, coriander, cloves, and cardamoms. And fennel, you know, you can make it up.
Cardamom is one of my favourites, you know. I add a lot of cardamom to almost everything.
Yeah.
It's really one of my favourites. But this time of year when people have got coughs and colds, you're going to tell us later, these spices are good for us, aren't they?
Absolutely. There are a few medicinal values to a lot of these Asian spices, which are used in most Indian or Asian cookery for years and years. But now, obviously, it has taken a modern form of turned into the tablets form. But keep it simple, keep it original, and have it in its original form.
So more from the lovely, fragrant, spicy Paul Barbara later on in the show. And my co-presenter this morning is the fabulous Love Chilies, Stevie Wood. Good morning, Steve.
Hello, Jules. You all right?
Hello, or good morrow, as we now have to say, because we are syndicated, you know, and we're on lots of other stations, so we have to say good morrow, don't we?
I always thought we were all over the place, but now it's official that we're all over the place.
Well, just the fact that the mics have been turned on is a real bonus, I think, this show. So Stevie Wood is going to be telling us about Elmcourt Farmers Market and giving us a roundup of what's happening and what's in season, no doubt.
At our farmers market, all the other farmers markets across the country, a few other bits and pieces, tell you what's coming up later on.
And will we have a mention of Easter eggs, do you think?
Yeah, we'll try and squeeze something in.
I think so.
As it is coming up to Easter.
Now, gird your loins, because I'm going to ask you in a minute to read out some Twitters on UK Food Show and Scoff Quaff. So if you are wanting to shout out, I know some of you started tweeting. We've had quite a few new followers. You can tweet at UK Food Show if you're wanting the UK branding, or at Scoff Quaff, which is the main Twitter handle for the show. And best time really to tweet in is about sort of 10:30 on a Tuesday, and then you're pretty sure to get a mention. But any time, you're always welcome, and you're always welcome to send in details of events to Jules at pressupgroup.com. Pressupgroup.com is my main little email. You can send me stuff. We are going to be talking, of course, Easter eggs. chocolate, my one weakness. We're going to go over to Folkestone about 20 past 11, and we're going to be talking to Julian at Kent Dark Chocolate about his Easter eggs, which are, off the top of my head, I think they're 87% and 82% or 3%. I can't remember, but he'll tell us. So he's based in Folkestone. Lovely, lovely Kentish dark chocolate. As you know, I do chomp quite a lot of Julian's chocolate.
We hadn't noticed.
Haven't you?
No.
And a big thanks to my chilli jelly that you bought me in this
morning. Oh, it's always a pleasure.
Because you know my daughter, Sid Robson, on the Twitter, nicked my last jar.
Yeah, I think she likes it, doesn't she?
Yeah. So. And then she rubbed my nose in by tweeting that it was delicious and I didn't have any. Also, big thanks to our sponsors, Breakthrough Funding. So that's breakthroughfunding.com. They will help you if you're looking for developing your food brands. And you're looking at perhaps maybe looking at the shelf life or something scientific, they can help you with grants. There's money awash. So get in touch with them, Breakthrough Funding, to find out more. Breakthroughfunding.com.
Does pay to try and get someone that knows what they're on about to get the funding, because it can be very difficult.
Yeah.
And that's why they're such a good little company to get involved with.
Well, that's right, Stevie. And I was just talking to Julian at Kent Dark Chocolate, and they've spent a lot of money on developing the brand, financially their own money. And I said, why don't you go for these grants? He said, you know, I can't bear all the paperwork and stuff. We'd rather do it ourselves. So if you have a company like breakthroughfunding.com who are used to doing it, they will fill out all the forms for you and guide you through step by step.
It's the old adage, play to your strengths and get other people to do stuff you're not very good at. And that's how it works.
That's why you're my co-presenter.
Thank you.
You see?
I thought it was because you couldn't get anybody else.
Well, no. Dr. John, of course, is on his sabbatical. He was frolicking in... where was he? He was somewhere in America. I've lost track. Somewhere freezing. He's back now.
Oh, well, that's good. Hopefully we'll see him soon.
He said he might roll in one day, probably when there's wine and food on the
show. Forget the other sponsor, Jules.
Who is the other sponsor?
Oh, that'd be Elmcourt Farmers Market.
Elmcourt Farmers Market.
Fancy that.
They're lovely. And they're on this Sunday.
Oh, they are, yes.
Well, I'm going to put some music on and you can tell us what's going on the Twitter and any events you might have. Oh, sorry. Carry on.
Plenty going. I thought we were doing a little bit of that. Was that Little Richard came in there from
because
somewhere?
Because if you hold your finger on too long, it double goes on. You carry on,
hold
darling.
Hold on your fingers.
Past events. Last week was VegFest, as we all know. So we'll be hearing all about that next week. So a past event and a forward event, because Jane will be with us telling us all about VegFest. On the Twitter, Sally Lake is out there. Sally for cakes.
Going back to VegFest, sorry, I was getting my tutti frutti back there. I hate it when I lose my tutti frutti. But VegFest sounded amazing. And funnily enough, Kent Dark Chocolate was there, Julian, and he was interviewed by Jane Apps. He said, oh, you're roving reporter. Interviews, isn't that?
What a small world. Yes, it is. This food business. Everybody knows each other.
But do carry on, darling. I think I interrupted.
Paul's out there. He's tweeting. Swella sitting next to me and making the whole studio smell absolutely gorgeous. He's been tweeting about a few bits and pieces. The townhouse have been tweeting him. So good to see them. Keep it Kent. AK Pet Services. And of course, the fat carrot, and she's out there. She's always tweeting, and I think it's all the normal suspects, to be quite honest with you. We're looking through. Don't forget, give us a quick tweet if you do want us to give you a shout out. You can get us on Scoff Quaff or on UK Food Show. So that's Twitter. Stuff going on. Would you like me to do stuff going on, or should we do something else?
Well, I think we will. I just want to say a quick hello to some people on my timeline. It's Miriam McGurk, the writer, Tales from Turkey, wishing you a brilliantly informative food show. Thank you, Miriam. And also Telcare Limited, telecommunications company. That's the lovely Lisa Settle saying good morning, and she loves an Easter egg. Whitstable Stove Shop, that's Mark Smith, says hello. And he says his good friend Paul Barber is on. listen for foodie items. He does barbecues now, you know.
Yes,
Mark Smith,
I know,
in Whitstable. They're in Saddleton Road if you're going to Whitstable.
Yep.
Made in Kent also saying hello. Good morning to you guys. I think you should give us some little events now, yes.
Okay, well, shall I do the farmers markets first?
Do you get them off your chest?
I know a little bit about farmers markets. As always, farmers markets on all week in Kent. There's over 90 a month now in Kent. This Wednesday, Lamberhurst. Now, that's a good little farmers market. Had to shut down for different reasons, but it is reopening this Wednesday in the Memorial Hall. Off the top of my head, it's 9 o'clock to 11. Fully booked with producers, so that is good. You need to support that little farmers market there in Lamberhurst, because it was struggling a little bit. They're giving it another go, so it should be quite busy as long as the local people support them. But then that's
what's
the same.
What's in here, Stevie?
Lamberhurst was on the main A21. It now has a bypass. It's one of the last villages in Kent before you head into Sussex. So if you're coming down the A21 from Tunbridge Wells, it's between Wadhurst and Gouthurst on either side. Next one along is Flimwell. So it's that sort of direction. Lovely little village.
It's a case of, it's the same with Whitstable Market, which is every Thursday. I mean, I've taken it under my wing, as you know, and given them a lot of free press. And, I mean, I've had them a couple of front page stories, but it's the age. I'm not being bitchy here, but I go and talk to them. I give them Twitter lessons for free. And I say, if you don't tweet, you're not going to, you know, and they don't tweet. And every week they say they will and they don't. And, you know, it's not enough sometimes just to turn up.
No, you do have to get out there. But then again, a few extra customers make all the difference. Just spending a couple of pounds. It's a bit like the 10% produced in Kent thing they try and do.
Yeah.
If that works, the food in this county would just take off. It's going places anyway, but it just needs a little bit of a hand. So, you know, support your little farmers markets.
I have my son at home, Shay Serkin, with his lady friend, Mimi. Hello, Mimi. And he's at home for the Easter. They're both at home. And I made him yesterday, you know, because obviously he's got his head in the fridge. He's 19 and he comes home and got his head in the fridge. And because we cook from scratch.
Where did you learn that from?
Oh, I don't know. It must be his one weakness. But I said to him, well, I'll drive you and drop you and you go and get some shopping. And he was going to go into the little Tesco Metro.
Yep.
And I said, no. I said, you go to the butchers and you go to the fruitmongers. And he gets embarrassed about going there. But he doesn't get embarrassed about going to the Tesco Metro.
Excuse me, you don't have to talk to anybody, do you, going through that? It's very soulless.
So it's a generation thing.
Could well be.
And I said to him when he came out, he got those lovely Romanesques. You know the Romanesques are in season now? Those gorgeous. You know what they are, don't you?
No idea.
Well, look at my hand.
It's round. It's round, yeah. Okay, we're getting there.
It's a sort of a cross, Paul and Steve. You know Paulie, do you?
Not really. I'm trying to figure it out.
See, we're learning something today.
I know something that you don't know. Okay, so a Romanesque is like this, you see, listener.
Is it a lettuce?
It's
fruit, vegetable?
I can only describe it as a cross between a broccoli and a cauliflower with a lovely pointy bit at the top. And it's the most fresh, fragrant taste, gorgeous, and it's a lime green.
I was going to say, they're normally a lovely colour and they don't lose their colour when they're cooking. But I didn't know what it was.
It's a Romanesque.
I've eaten them.
There you go.
I get them in my box from Riverford quite a lot, and I have tweeted out the picture of it quite a bit, but I will try and find you a picture.
Yeah, no, they are very, very interesting just to look at as a vegetable because it's a very symmetrical vegetable.
Well, pork from the butchers, Sermons in Tangerton, fabulous butcher. Although Ken Lloyd tweeted me about a new butcher he's discovered in Preston, so we're going to try and get them on the show. He said the guy there actually asked how long you want your meat hung for, and he can actually, you know, give you specified well hung meat, so to speak.
That's great. That's how you want it.
So that's Preston. Go on, Steve.
So Wednesday Lamberhurst, always raring to go. Jules, Thursday Alcombe Valley. That's run by Beth Mogador, who tweets us quite a lot.
Fabulous.
In fact, I think she's tweeted today.
Yeah.
On Thursday, there's also Charing, Chartham, Rolverton, Shibben and Whitfield.
Shibben.
I've been doing it for years. I live just down the road. Friday, we have just outside Kent, Bexhill, but they're a member of Kent Farmers Market Association. Mm. So we support them. We support farmers markets all over the place, not just in Kent. Egerton, Horseman Den and Lewis Food Market, another one just over the border. Saturday we have Penshurst, Seven Oaks, Tunbridge Wells down on the Pantiles, not the Town Hall. And Why? All absolutely fabulous farmers markets. Penshurst is a particular favourite of mine. And Why's very nice as well. That's on the Village Green. Very nice little setting. Close the road around the Village Green and do that. Full details of all Kent Farmers Markets are available on Kent Farmers Market Association website. That is kfma.org.uk. Or you can find them on Twitter at Kent Farmers. Very active on Twitter they are.
Who was that?
Kent Farmers Market Association.
Oh, I love them.
I know, they are indeed very...
Yeah, quite naughty though, the leader of Kent Farmers. I find him quite naughty. Going on to what we're going to do now is we're going to play a little tune. I want to say hello, first of all, to Sally Laker, the Queen of Cakes, based in Whitstable, who's just tweeted in, listening in, and also to Laura Burton Lawrence, who is listening in with the rather handsome barrister broker. She says she can hear us loud and clear. I just wanted to talk about chocolate because it is Easter. Do you know, I had such a busy week last week, boys, that I actually forgot it was Easter this week and it was the Easter show.
Oh dear. It's because they keep changing it.
Well, it's because you keep telling me it's curry week, you see. You decide. You didn't even mention Easter or eggs or anything to do with Easter, bunnies and things.
Curry's far more important.
But let's just ask, what kind of egg? So, Paul, will you buy Rani an Easter egg, your lovely wife?
I will certainly, but she will not be here. She's flying off tomorrow to Florida.
So you're going to eat her egg then without
I
her?
Will save it, treasure it, and keep myself away from that eating egg because I'm diabetic, so I will just admire it.
Well, there is a diabetic chocolate, I think, as well, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes, there are quite a few now.
Yeah, getting better and easier.
Yeah.
And Stevie Wood?
I must admit, I steer clear of the Easter eggs because being a greedy person, I don't like the hollow bit in the middle. So
you can eat them unstuffed.
You could do, yeah. I'm just going to treat everybody to a nice chocolate brownie because I've got to say,
ooh, yeah.
Round about the farmers markets, the people that make them on the farmers markets, it's all done on quality and taste, not on what it costs, and they are great. So you get great chocolate all year round, but if you don't eat it all year round, treat yourself to an Easter egg
well,
or someone else.
I do eat
this
it.
Weekend.
I do eat it all round.
Yeah,
I find
we know that
chocolate is necessary, but I do try and have sort of a raw chocolate or very dark chocolate. There is, I'm going to give, Stevie Wood's going to read this out later, but it's a guilty pleasure for many, healthier and tastier chocolate. But scientists have found a way to make chocolate healthier and taste better. And they're talking about the beneficial antioxidants in cocoa, which are called polyphenols. But Stevie Wood is going to read that out later. But there's a team at Ghana University, where, of course, a lot of the cocoa excuse me, comes from, who are working on getting this healthy chocolate. So Stevie Wood's going to read that later. Meanwhile, we are going to resurrect Tutti Frutti, and we're going to play a little bit of Little Richard or Big Richard.
I love Tutti Frutti.
I do.
Rock to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. 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 A wop bop loom bop lump bump bum. I got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. Got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. Tutti Frutti, oh Rudy. 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 Wop, 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 wop.
crazy. Got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. To the booty, oh Rudy. 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 Oh, wop, bop, loom, bop, lop, bam, boom.
And that was Little Richard there, Tutti Frutti. We should have, let's see if we've got the lovely Julian Lucas on the line. Hello, Julian. Hello, Julian. Hello, Julian, are you there? Hello. Julian Lucas, hello, in Folkestone. We are salivating now thinking about Kent Dark Chocolate and your lovely Easter eggs. I was telling the listener that you have only dark chocolate and only the best dark chocolate, but also tell me about your, was it 86%? I always forget, an 82%, or have I made that up? I'm close. I know I'm very close. You do, because you are the business, aren't you? Julian Lucas. Yeah. Are you listening, Gavin Serkin?
Cocoa sourced mainly from the Dominican Republic. Our eggs are chocolate heaven for chocolate aficionados. They are truly wonderful for those who have a passion for the full cocoa experience. All our chocolate, all our Kent dark chocolate tastes really fabulous. Our first concern is to make a Kent product that stands shoulder to shoulder with other great foods. I'm sure you're talking about them on the show at the moment.
Yeah.
With other great foods from our lovely county. Incidentally, all our chocolate, I haven't mentioned this before, but all our chocolate is both organic and fair trade.
So where are you sourcing this lovely fair trade chocolate from, Julian?
From the Dominican Republic.
Fabulous.
No, not the chocolate, the cocoa.
The cocoa, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I know I've asked you this before, but
go for it.
Tell me about, you know, people that go on about raw chocolate, well, I am one of them. Tell me the difference, because I know that you've sort of, you know, puffed at me when I've said about raw chocolate, haven't you?
Well, I don't know. And I don't think most people do not know what raw chocolate is, because it's difficult, because there are no rules, there are no regulations, there's no certification.
Really?
There's no audit. No one can actually, if you ask anyone who makes raw chocolate to give you proof of that, that's not forthcoming. Now, first of all, when you get the cocoa, you put the cocoa pods it usually goes onto the ground, and these places, these farmers often are not the richest people. They're just put on the ground, they're walked over by animals, by chickens and things like that,
yeah.
And they ferment there, and the temperatures often get above 55 degrees centigrade.
Yeah.
But on numerous occasions, cocoa will go, will become in the process. Will be heated. Even when they're grinding, the temperature will go up just because of the mechanism of grinding.
Yeah.
There's no. Whilst people say it's raw, and they may not heat the product that they have, they can never prove that cocoa actually is raw. And if you have organic chocolate,
yeah.
then you have to have a trail showing where it's come from, where it's grown, and what product you buy, where you produce it, how you produce it, where it's stored, and how you sell it. And there must be, it all must tally. Same with fair trade and, you know, any other certification process. But with raw chocolate, it's a very grey area. And whilst I'm sure it is physically possible to produce something, there are things like salmonella that really needs to be killed off.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is by heating the chocolate.
Now, Julian, with your chocolate, what I love about it is the way it melts in the mouth. You know, there's none of that sort of margarine-y, sticky stuff.
Yeah.
It melts in the palate. But it does...
There's a simple reason for that.
Yeah, tell me.
And that is the ingredients we put in.
Right.
Now, which are very, very simple. And basically, it is cocoa.
Yeah.
And sugar.
Right.
And the two things together make... We actually also have a little emulsifier,
yeah,
which is actually a sunflower lecithin. A lot of people use soya lecithin. We use a sunflower lecithin, which we prefer.
Sounds much better than soya.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes a wonderful product, which is very simply made, with very simple ingredients, only the best ingredients we can find. And as a result, it hasn't got lots of other nonsense in that you can find in other chocolates.
Yeah,
makes the taste not so enjoyable.
Julian, I was watching a program last night. I just caught the tail end of it. It might have even been something I recorded. I can't remember, but it was about food unwrapped, and it's. I don't know if you've seen it. I find it a bit babyish. They sort of really sort of talk down and make it all cartoony,
yeah,
which is the way of a lot of television programs at the moment. But they were talking about doggy chocolate drops and human doggy chocolate drops. They went into a factory and were looking at real chocolate, and they were saying that flour goes into it, and I thought, really? So do some manufacturers put a little bit of flour in chocolate?
Lots of things are put into chocolate.
Mm.
Because cocoa is very expensive, you put more things in.
Yeah.
I think most people also, if we're talking about milk chocolate,
yeah,
I think people have been misled in some ways, because there is a brand of chocolate that has on the label people pouring glasses of milk into chocolate.
Yeah.
Now, that is not possible to do that. You can't pour milk into chocolate.
So it that was would, the old glass it, and a half.
It would curdle.
Yeah.
And the chocolate would never set.
Yeah.
What they put in is they put in milk powder.
Right.
And it's the milk powder that goes in to make it milky. Now, some people put other ingredients in there as well. Some people who use alternatives to milk will put other powders in there. And some companies put some flour in. Of various types.
Right.
So, yes, it does happen. And other products are put in. Vegetable oils are put in. A lot of companies will put palm oil into their chocolate.
Yeah.
Which
is that sort of margarine-y taste that I'm complaining of, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And really, it's because, you know, it bulks out the chocolate, and it doesn't means you don't have to put so much of the cocoa in.
Well, cutting to the chase on your Easter eggs, if we've left it a little bit too late...
Can we order from you? You can order online.
Right.
If you order online, I really would suggest you do it today.
Yeah.
Order online at www.kent.chocolate.co.uk.
Yeah.
And order a little bit of happiness for next weekend.
Yeah.
But do it straight away, because we've got to get it to people.
Yeah, okay.
And then we've got to process the order, and we've got to get it to you by Thursday. So it really needs to be today, and we'll do our utmost to get it to you.
I shall get that pesky Paul Andrews to order mine immediately.
Just one?
Well, one for each day of the week. We've got 4 days over Easter, so possibly four. Julian, as ever, thank you very much for coming on the show, and we'll be
lovely
speaking
to you
soon. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye, Julian.
Bye now.
That was the amazing Kent Dark Chocolate, Julian Lucas, there telling us all about his amazing. Honestly, if you haven't tasted it, support. Can you imagine? It's made in Folkestone. I love that.
I'm ordering mine now.
Yeah. We also must mention, of course, S&D chocolates, who are at your farmer's market, Silver and
Terry.
Yeah, they
quite often. Yes, Silver and Terry, they're at our farmer's markets quite often.
And the lovely Debbie Carter Linton chocolates, who's also been on the show, mention them as well. All Kentish chocky people.
They're all brilliant.
Damien Allsop also, who left Kent but went to, he's in Alicante, I believe. His chocolate is divine too. Stevie Wood, did you have a little chocolate thing to get us in the
I did, yes. We'll just give Julian's Twitter handle another mention. That's at Kent Dark Chocolate, so you can find him. Interesting piece out of the paper. Not sure which paper, but it's...
Might be the Daily Mail. It's my mother's.
Is it really? Yes. They're basically saying that they've...
Could be the Evening Standard.
They're
depends.
Saying they've found a better way of... working the chocolate or making the chocolate so it's healthier for you, and they've spent a lot of time working this out, and it's all to do with the temperature they heat the beans.
Right.
Now, having had a quick look through this, they've spent a lot of time doing it, and they're, instead of roasting the beans at fermenting and roasting the beans for 10 and 20 minutes at 130 degrees, they're doing it for 45 minutes at 116 degrees. Now that shows you get a lot more of the benefits from all the stuff that's in the cocoa pods. Just like to point out that that is the same with most foods.
I was going to say, it's a little bit like, probably, not that I know, but a little bit like coffee beans, isn't it? The roasting and the whole...
Yes.
Because, you know, I hand grind now my coffee.
Do you really?
I've got very highbrow with my coffee.
That's very good. Yeah. I still get mine out of a jar, but I'm sure
if
I'm...
If you come round to Chesmois in Tankerton, I'll hand grind for you and you can do a blind tasting.
Brilliant. Now, that sounds very nice. I'll be round. Just straight after this, we'll be round.
Do you know, we've got a grumpy old man listening.
Have we?
Yeah, it's Don Wood from his Twitter handle. Everybody must follow him.
At Promote Thanet.
Yeah, at Promote _ Thanet. Not just any Thanet, _ Thanet, I think it is. And he says, loud and clear in Margate, Easter eggs are good, but empty. I like chocolate in bars better. So a bit like you.
Yeah, a bit like mine. Go for the chocolate brownies.
But he says, I do enjoy smashing an Easter egg.
And why not, indeed?
We know what we could do, Stevie Wood and Paul.
Hello.
Well, we could get Julian to make us an Easter egg that you can open up and you could put chocolate brownies in it.
Nice.
That's a very good idea.
On the button.
Oh, yeah, I'm off now.
Yeah.
I'm off now.
You're full of ideas.
To sort
it
out.
I am. I just got myself, treated myself to a new book, which is Helmsley and Helmsley. And they make chocolate brownies, not using any flour at all, but using black beans. And I'm going to try it and let you know. Apparently it's delicious. I know it's not really doing it for you, but it's cutting out the flour and the wheat and the grains, which a lot of people are doing. And apparently with black beans, very, very healthy. It's what all the top models take, darling.
Nice.
And as you're a top model, Paul Barbary,
you'd
know. Okay, well, that sounds fab. Now what should we do? Should we, have you got any more snippets?
A few more tweets coming in. Star Valley at Valley Game, they've tweeted in. Made
Hello
in Kent.
They actually went past me on the roundabout this morning. I was coming through Canterbury and Stour Valley sort of
cut me
up.
You can see them now. They've got a sign written van, can't you? You know exactly who they are.
Do you think I should get a Scoff and Quaff one?
You'll definitely.
Yes, go for
it. Yeah,
if anybody's out there wants to do me a Scoff and Quaff.
Can you get one of those roundy type ones with the big bumpers and the stick on the back that hooks up to the electric? That'd suit you down to the ground.
With a new car as well.
That was the car, the bumper car.
Oh, like Noddy.
Well, I was thinking more like they have at the fun fairs.
Yes, you're everywhere.
Gastro Mag have picked up on us, so that's nice to see they're listening in. That's good, and I think that's it at the moment.
Nurse Liz Gilson, of course, has woken up in Maryland. She says it's 6 a.m. and dark there, and she set her alarm to listen.
It was dark here at 6 a.m.
Yeah, was it?
Mm.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Are you sure that wasn't the eclipse?
No, that was a couple of weeks ago,
I
think.
That?
Yeah.
I thought that eclipse... Do you remember the eclipse that was before? I think it was in 1998 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
We actually trundled down with our
14 years ago it was, I think.
We trundled down with our caravan to Cornwall, which is one of the best places to see it. And...
Didn't.
No, we did. We had a great time. Yeah,
good.
The kids still remember it. Well, little Nipper doesn't. He's 19 now. He doesn't remember it, but the big kids remember it. And we had it was lovely. And I remember we had a leak in the caravan roof. We made our German Shepherd lie under the leak to soak up the drips of water, which is perhaps not very nice.
I'm sure that's, you can get fined for that nowadays, I'm sure.
Talking of dogs, we're going to play a little bit of Honky Cat, and then we're going to talk to the lovely Paul Barbara, and perhaps we can eat some pakoras.
Sure.
What do you think?
If there's any left.
I think
there are
so.
Quite a few.
Here's a bit of Elton John and Honky Cat.
Redneck ways and I'm, oh,
Oh, Honky Cat there with Elton John. And we now have the delicious Paul Babbra, who I follow him around, listener. He does all the beautiful food shows, and I follow him around with my plate open, waiting for the odd pakora to slip on to my plate. Where do you live? I don't actually know.
I'm a Canterbury, local Canterbury.
You are a local Canterbury lad. So tell us about... Well, let me tell you, listener, first of all, I'm going to read out the website so you can look him up. On the Twitter, he's at Paul Babbra, B-A-B-R-A, and it's www.paulbabbra.co.uk. But he is very well known for his beautifully prepared chutneys, and he prepares them in small open pan batches and uses fresh ingredients and spices that are seldom found in the stuff that you can buy in the supermarkets. And the sweet spice combinations are designed to complement common curry favourites, offering contrasting flavours and textures. And Paul and Rani Babbra launched the Paul Babbra range of chutneys in 2013, using flavours and spices which are truly evocative of Paul's childhood in Jodhpur in northern India.
That's right.
So how old were you when you left Jodhpur?
Oh, well, I was born in Jodhpur. That was way back.
Oh, Paul. I don't believe you.
Yeah, and then actually from Jodhpur, the city in Rajasthan, I then moved to or lived and studied in Ajmer. And then I lived in Calcutta, in northern India, then in Mumbai. I left Bombay. Don't like saying Mumbai, but that's the word they use it now.
Yeah. So you prefer Bombay than
Mumbai? I definitely prefer Bombay still. Bombay duck, Bombay aloo, Bombay dal puri. There are so many foods associated with the word Bombay itself.
It's a bit like Myanmar, isn't it? You know, it used to be Burma, and there's still that changeover. Burmese cats, you don't say Myanmar cat.
That's right.
Yeah. Which of those cities did you prefer, do you think?
Oh, God.
If we were coming to visit you, where would you invite us to?
Well, certainly Jodhpur will be my birthplace. And the palace, which we often used to see from our big grandparents' house, it's sold now. And that's where I grew up. So we often been to that Jodhpur, the Umaid Bhawan Palace. And fortunately, I still happen to know the Maharajas of the palace. So watch out. I might get you a special suite in the palace of Jodhpur.
I would love to go to Jodhpur. I've been watching, what's that, Indian Summer on Sunday nights
at the moment. Yes.
The television, and I just love it. Julie Walters is brilliant in it as well. But I do love that whole, and the colours out there, and the sounds and the scents.
Yeah.
So your love of food came from your mum, or...?
Well, as you know, in my early childhood, we all used to stay in a large families, uncle, aunt. So poor old mum with my granny used
to,
to do all the cooking. And one meal was used to be for 40 to 45 people, one meal. And that's including only the family members, uncle, aunts, cousin, and some friends as well. So you can imagine the ladies cooking meal twice a day for about almost 100 people a day.
Wow. So, and would they have had any help, like servants or anybody, if they were sort of middle class?
Yes, in India, quite commonly people that do have servants, but those servants, they somewhat become a part of the family itself because they live in the house itself, and we have grown with the servants, so we never call them a servant. Of course, we meet very often, day till night. They look after us and do all sorts of housework, cleaning, sweeping. So yes, you do have a very free hand, but here in England or in the Western world, you basically want to do, or if you can afford a servant, fine, but literally you have to get used to doing your own bits and bobs.
Now, I was asking Paul, listener, I'm into dals, a good dal, because I find them, just a fantastic meat substitute, and they're creamy and they're tasty. Don't know about you, Stevie, but a good dal.
Are they made with chickpeas?
Oh, perfect.
Lentils.
Yes, lentils or dals, you know. There are so many variety of range, but unfortunately not many people, they know. They think, yes, we are just being a meat lovers, and that's all we need. But quite simply, if you have a bowl of dal, you can quite easily put your prawns or your fish or even a chicken or something in the dal itself.
But don't need anything with the dal.
No.
It's protein, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's quite wholesome food itself.
Fabulous.
On its own.
And I think people are becoming, you know, for myself at home, I'd rather buy decent quality good meat, but maybe not eat meat every day. So tell us about a Tarka dal or a dal Maharani.
Well, the Tarka dal, as you may know, these two dals which I mentioned, dal Maharani, is the combination of dals what you use. For the Tarka dal, you can pick any dal, just bring it to boil with a little bit of turmeric and some salt in it, and that is just enough. Bring it almost to about 80 to 90% boiling and keep it aside. And once then you keep the dal aside, if it is still in the boiling water or liquid, it will still keep cooking in itself. And separately, you just make a tempering or a tarka, basically what we call, is a seasoning of cumin seed and onions, ginger, garlic, and tomatoes. So that will make like a rich base, which is like a curry base for most Asian cuisine, and just put it to the dal, and your Tarka dal is all ready.
And the secret of fresh spices, so would you put them into a pestle and mortar and bruise them?
It always helps to give a very nutty and very fresh fragrance when you freshly roast your spices. But you can make a small batch of those selected spices and make your own garam masala, which is well known, and keep it in a tight lid jar for a few months, and you can use it in many other dishes.
That sounds yum. So I'm going to take this recipe and I will try and get it on the Scoff and Quaff website as well. Now, tell us what you've got up your sleeve with your chutneys. What's happening, and where are you going to be?
Oh, right. As Jules, you mentioned, you've been following us for a good number of years. And if you remember, we started way back in almost in 99 or 2000, when Music for Change in Canterbury, they used to do their food shows, and that's where we came on board with the simple recipes, which we are still continue doing it. And that's where we used to make this mint and tamarind sauce or chutney, and the chili garlic sauce, which now at this stage, after almost 13-14 years been serving to the mass number of people through our various food events and outlets, we finally 2 years ago decided to go into the manufacturing side of it, and that's what we are doing it. So fortunately, this mint and tamarind sauce is one of the best selling, and lots of people I know, they have tasted it, tried it, and that's what we are continuing doing it, among other chutneys what we are introducing as well.
And you're doing a curry workshop on the 18th of April?
Yes, indeed.
And tell us about that. That's going to be at the Westgate Hall in Canterbury.
Yes. What is happening, I quite clearly remember that Westgate Hall was almost demolished to the...
That's right.
But now it is saved and is completely refurbished, and it's a nice good kitchen and a good number of big hall to accommodate it, almost about 400-500 people. So meeting with the organizers of the Westgate Hall, we came up with an idea to introduce the curry workshop, which I've been doing it for a good few years, going to the local grammar schools and in London and so on. So this is the first time I'm introducing this curry workshop at the Westgate Hall in Canterbury, and there are two slots. One is in the morning, 10:30 to 12 o'clock.
Right.
And the second one is around 3:30 to 5 o'clock. So
what day is the 18th?
I think it's Saturday.
Ah, so it's a weekend. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Okay, so 10:30 to 12, and the other one was
3:30 to 5 o'clock.
And, Paul, how many people do you think you're going to get to that, if it holds? Are you expecting 400 people to come along? Or?
Well, more than the better, because I love cooking in a big batches, or can feed them as many as we can. So I will give it a go. We are getting a few bookings already, we are trying our best to put that. And it's not only like my show will not be just that I will cook and I will eat and people will look at it and get nothing. So my platform will be, I will be cooking live in front of
as many people. Do you have helpers? Rani will be there, won't she?
Unfortunately, not on this occasion, because Rani,
she's still in Florida.
Rani will be in Florida.
Well,
but
who can blame her staying there? She's probably with Ken Heron, you know.
Oh, well, lucky fellow.
Ken Heron is a regular tweeter. So are you going to have any help?
Why don't you come on board, Julie?
Well, I will. I'll come and nibble, you know, and maybe bring Steve Wood. Have you got a market then, Steve Wood?
I don't know off the top of my head, but curry just drags me out. I'll be there.
You usually do.
I'll be there. Don't worry.
Fine. So that's the
anything for a curry.
So it's and what's the cost?
It's £25 per person, and as I was saying, it's not only I just cook. So the whole food, which I will cook in maybe 3 or 4 different dishes, will be served to the all audience who will be there, whether it's 10, 40 or 100 or even 400. Let's see how many we can able to accommodate.
Wow.
So for £25, you learn how to cook it.
Yep.
You get it cooked for you.
Yep. Yep.
And you eat it.
And you eat it.
I'm in.
I'm in.
There you go.
Let's go. And most of Scoff and Quaff listeners, no doubt, will be in.
Thank you.
We need to now go over to Stevie Wood, who's going to tell us about Elm Court Farm. I'm very excited about this cooking. So it's April the 18th, 10:30 to 12 or 3:30. It's only £25 per person. And you get, as Stevie Wood says, to gobble up all the food as well as learning. Go to the website, www.paulbabra.co.uk. That's BABRA.co.uk, Paul Babra. Fabulous. And follow him on Twitter at Paul Babra.
Thank you, my darling.
Let's eat some pakoras while Stevie Wood tells us what's happening.
I'm not actually interested in anything else now. That's that's me sorted for the month. Going on a little bit further before I tell you about Elm Court, on Tuesday the 21st of April, Cripps Food Law, you can find them on Twitter at Cripps Food Law, are having a food and drink sector tweet up. It says the event will be an informal networking and sharing opportunity, so please join us. Take advantage of talking about your business. If you follow them on Twitter, you can find details there, or go to their website, and all you just got to do is let them know you're going. I can say, having been to the last two they've done, they do put on a nice spread. This one is Tuesday 21st of April, 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. Cheesemakers of Canterbury is where they're hanging out that night.
Cheesy.
And that's all at the Good Shed. So everybody knows where the Good Shed is.
In Canterbury. Just by the station, Canterbury
West.
As
I say, they do a good spread, so it is worth going along to. Other things on this weekend, which is Easter weekend, as we know now. Lots of eggs around. Other farmers market, as well as Elm Court, Ashford is on, 10 till 12 in the Lower High Street. Broadstairs are having their spring fair. That's on all weekend in Broadstairs, 4th, 5th and 6th. And that's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Entry is free. Loads going on there. And there's a murder mystery evening at the ferry on the 3rd of April.
Sounds good.
That's what else is going on. Our market, must just mention about
Elm
our market.
Court, fabulous.
It's on Sunday.
5th of April.
It's always on the first Sunday of every month. It's 9:30 to 1:30. If you don't know Elm Court, it's Medway, it's Gillingham. It's the old Elm Court Garden Centre, which was formerly Wyvale, but apparently now again is Wyvale, because they keep changing hands. Capstan Road, so up past, if you know the ski slope, just up past the ski slope, we're up there. Postcode, if you need it, is ME73JQ. We have a draw every month that is sponsored by
the fabulous Scoff and Quaff show.
It is.
Every Tuesday live at 11 a.m.
If nobody wins it, we have a rollover. So the prize now is...
I love this printout. It's got the whining ticket. So it's very apt for Scoff and Quaff.
It is, yes.
They've missed an N off, so it's the whining, yeah, the whining ticket.
That's my spilling. That's all wrong there.
The spilling.
My spilling, yes.
£700.
£700 worth of vouchers to spend at the market. People go around the market and various producers give them tickets.
Chris
and they need
Pollard
to hang on to
nearly
them.
Won once, you know.
He did. He was literally a couple of hours at Aylesford. I think it was £1,000.
He always thinks he's won. Every time he's on, he says he's won.
And he's always a couple out.
Bless him.
Winning ticket this month is 24510, 24,510. Always loads going on at the demonstration kitchen. As always, we have Matthew from Kent Fine Foods and Baker John. And that's about it for that. Next week, we're at Tunbridge, and She Who Bakes is going to be with us doing a cooking demo at Tunbridge next week. So that'll
She Who Bakes. Now, that's L?
No, that's Brit.
Brit. I knew it was a short name.
Yes, she's on
with the
Twitter.
Lovely pink hair.
Red, I would have gone for, but
red?
Pink, yeah, I'm
just,
it's, yeah.
You
it's,
know,
it's
well, men are all colourblind, aren't
yes.
they?
Well, apparently, yes, apparently we are.
How is the seasonal produce coming along now? We're coming into
it's
come on,
because
last
getting
month
there,
you
isn't
were
it?
A bit the month it's, ahead, and you said it was asparagus, which shocked me.
It's just getting there, isn't it? It should be this month, hopefully.
Any Romanesque?
Hopefully. No. Now, I'm surprised you got that, actually, because it's a cabbage, isn't it? It is a cabbage, or
yeah.
It's a brassica of some
yeah,
description, so they're normally further around the season. So, no, but we should have definitely got peppers now. So, peppers under glass are coming in. Might be some tomatoes, new season tomatoes, but now with all the glass and everything, you can get them virtually all year round.
Polytunnels.
They are nice, yeah, polytunnels, glass. So, yes, all the salad-y, greeny type stuff that makes you think of spring.
Do you know, Steve Wood, what I was eating last week? My co-presenter last week, Harry Covert, bought me in some wild garlic called Ransom, it's called.
Yeah.
And lovely. And he's given me a recipe to use it to make pesto.
Yeah, it's very nice. But if you pick it out the wild, just move away from the footpath a little bit.
Yeah, well, I don't know where he picked it.
About a dog's leg's length away from the footpath. But no, it's great. It's in the woods.
I hope my new husband washed it.
Very damp areas of woods, you find. It's normally by streams and places like that. Where it's a bit damp and boggy, you'll normally find wild garlic. As soon as you start seeing the flowers, it's normally had it. So they will start flowering in a few weeks. But no, it's out there. Go and get some.
You've upset me now, because I had it with my scrambled egg on Sunday, and I'm not sure that my new husband washed it thoroughly.
It'll be fine. Don't worry.
But look, I'm still
alive. It'll be fine. Yeah,
but
it's great.
It is really nice and delicate, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I also want to start cooking with nettles. I think we need to have a forager on the show.
Just quickly with the wild garlic, if you're going to pick your own wild garlic, pick the leaves, don't pull the plants out.
Yes.
Same with nettles.
Yes.
If you're going to pick your nettles now, and probably now and next month is the time to do nettles. If you want to start cooking with nettles, don't wait till they're big and tall. Just pick them like you would if you were picking tea. Just take the shoots off the top. Do wear gloves. That's my final thing about nettles.
I agree.
Makes a lovely soup. You don't normally see them at your farmer's market. Go to a farmer's market.
Thank you for tuning in to Scoff Quaff. Next week, my lovely guest will be the Fat Carrot 11 on the Twitter, Jane Apps, who will be telling us about her roving reporting for Scoff and Quaff at the Vegetable Festival in Brighton. Big thanks to Paul Babra. Go along to his curry shop, his curry workshop, Elm Court Farm this Sunday. Thanks to all of you who tweeted in, especially the lovely grumpy old man in Thanet, Don Wood. For now, from all of us, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.